4 p.m. So we'll begin the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Tuesday, June 20th. Welcome, everyone. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded. So the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips. For people who are joining through phone calls, you can press star 6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star 9. Everyone who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon and that will unmute and mute you. And if you like to raise hands, you can click on the, if you go under reactions, click on the raise hand icon that will raise and lower your virtual hands. If you are able to use these tools, it will be very helpful because then we would know that somebody is trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. And everyone is probably on mute now. I would request for you to stay on mute unless speaking because it helps us in eliminating any external noise. Just as a reminder, we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. I would request for anyone, when you're speaking, please state your name before your comment. It helps them in doing their job. It also helps everyone who's on the phone knowing who the speaker is at that time. And not to mention that if anybody listens to the recorded audio, it also helps them. Chair Samford, if you would like, I can go through the roll call and then read the meeting agenda.
Sure, please.
Thank you. As I call the names of the AAC members, please confirm your presence. Azhar Atura, Darnese Bush, Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles. I believe Vanessa is connected on this meeting. Rico Dancy. Tawan Farmer. Debbie Fisher.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein. Timothy Howard. Steve Kaplan.
Present.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thomas Mangren. Philippa Mazel. Sandy Newsel.
Present.
Phil Posner.
Present from Reykjavik.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Summerport.
Present as always.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan. Patrick actually informed that he may not be able to join the meeting today. Kelly Simonov. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. I will read the agenda out loud for today's meeting. And before I do that, I will share my screen. So if you would bear with me for a quick moment.
And Anu, while you pull that up, Mr. Farmer, I just came on.
Wonderful. Thank you for being here. I believe my screen is visible. So we just went through the roll call of the AAC members for today's meeting. After I finish reading the agenda, Chair Summerport will go through the motion of reviewing and approving today's meeting minutes and today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we will have the customer service report and commendations report. 15, we will have Michael Wilson Award, and the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. At 4:20, Mr. Blake will give us an update about Metro Access minivans. At 4:35, Mr. Blake will give us another update about Metro Access pickup window change. At 4:50, Mr. Blake will give an update about the Metro Access Where is My Ride application. At 5:05, Mr. Blake will give an update about Metro Access fares. At 5:10, Allison Anderson will give an update about Metro Access web booking. At 5:15, Mr. Blake and the AAC members will discuss Metro Access service area and grandfathering. 5:35, we will begin the public comment section, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I will stop sharing the screen. At this point, Chair Summerford, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you so much, everybody. As we go through the agenda here, I am none of the topics are going to change. I'm just moving up some of the pieces. Since Mr. Blake will be talking most of this, I'm going to move up Ms. Anderson is first. That way her piece is very short and simple and just a review and out of the way. And some of the other pieces, Mr. Blake, some of the shorter ones like the fair and fair update and the window change, I want to do those first because the other item topics will require a substantive amount of time of discussion, most likely. So given that, are there any changes to this fully packed agenda? Can I get a motion to approve the agenda with just those slight changes? Which are just cosmetic, but
so moved.
All right, all those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Wait a minute, how about a second?
Oh, can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you. All those approve, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nay. Aye, aye, aye.
Nays, abstentions, the motion carries the agenda with the slight modifications in the order of how the agenda is going to be rolled out, starting with Ms. Anderson's presentation. And then what I just said, the other two about fares and the window changing, since they're going to come through as is. I'd rather have more of the other pieces be talked about after those.
Mr. Chair, you haven't done the minutes yet.
Uh-huh. So the next thing is the approval of the minutes. All those, are there any changes, rejections, anything with the minutes that need to be made from the previous month? Hearing the crickets, I need a motion to move last month's meeting minutes as approved as is.
Motion.
Farmer. All right. Can I get a second? Okay. All those in favor for moving the meeting minutes from approving the meeting minutes from last month as is, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions. Okay, the motion carries. Next, Ms. Anderson and company with the customer service report and accommodations report.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Allison Anderson. I'm with Metro Access. It is my pleasure to introduce Ms. Kay Clark with MTM, who will provide our public comment resolution report and also commendation report from our last session. Okay.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Excellent. Yes, thank you. There were actually no outstanding public comments to be addressed from either meeting. During the month of May, Metro Access did receive a total of 346 commendations and broken down by provider, they are as follows. First Transit received 47, Transdev 57, MV received 101, Challenger 72, Next Transportation 61, MTN 2, Eligibility 1, and Abilities Ride 5. And lastly, I would like to thank the committee and the WMATA team. This will be my last meeting. Thank you all for inviting me into your space, and it has been a pleasure working and learning from you all. The committee does excellent work for both those who have disabilities and the community overall relating to public transportation. I will say that I've learned from all of you that the work and dedication is intentional, necessary, and appreciated. I'm grateful for the opportunity again to work with you all. And going forward, MTM's new administrative manager will be Dolan Chittums. He's been here with over 15 years of paratransit experience, and he'll be taking my place, and you will be hearing from him going forward in the future meetings. And this concludes my report. Thank you so much, everyone. I really appreciate it.
And thank you for your service to our wonderful family here.
Absolutely.
All righty. Go ahead, Ms. Anderson.
So with that, I'd like to introduce Mr. William Ford with First Transit to introduce our Michael Wilson Award recipient, as well as our AAC Metro Access Safety Award recipient. Mr. Ford?
Good evening. Good evening. How's everyone? Unfortunately, both recipients are unable to be here. My Michael Wilson Award recipient is Regina Simmons. She's on a cruise this current week, so she said she wouldn't be here. But I just wanted to give you a backstory of her. She's been with our company for a little over 5 years. Interesting story how she became an operator. Her sister currently takes the service, and she cares for her sister day in and day out, and she decided she wanted to give back. I remember when she first came in the door here and expressed that. And she's been a model employee ever since, you know. So we tip our hats off to her at this location because she goes out and does her job and then she goes home and gives direct care as well for her family member. So we wanted to express our love to her. Once we see her on Monday, we have a nice gift card and plaque to award her with. So like I said, again, hats off to Ms. Simmons. Our safety award recipient is Donna Cole. Donna Cole has been at the location for a little over 10 years. My first week on the job, I met her and she said, "You ready for this?" You know, this is in 2015, but she's a person, has a very calm demeanor, is very caring and has a lot of knowledge on this contract. She's helped me become the GM that I am today, expressing her concerns, walking me through certain things. You know, so we want to applaud her as well for the safety dedication that she's had. Since I've been here, she's only had one drive cam incident, no preventables, no non-preventables on this contract, and that is since 2013. So we tip our hats off to her as well. We commend her with this safety award also. So thanks again.
Well, thank you so much to both recipients. Thank you for all your dedication and hard work. All right, next, with that, Anu, I see there's a hand up, but maybe you can find out who that hand is and why.
Yes.
Okay. So the first topic is going to be Ms. Anderson for your report. And I do want to say, I know y'all doing hard work with wrestling this issue. I would state that maybe we can make an appointment around that time in which I'm still experiencing a little bit of issues around that 3:34 clock frame where you and IT can see my Zoom screen and see the experience I go through. But I choose to do it obviously much earlier than that time period, obviously where there's issues with the web booking. But go ahead, Ms. Anderson.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Semford. Again, this is Allison Anderson with the Office of Metro Access Service. So in regards to an update about where we are with trying to resolve some of the web booking issues that you, Mr. Semford, as well as Mr. Torres, have brought to our attention. First of all, the new Trapeze web booking release is actually slated to be delivered to WMATA next week. So we are anxiously awaiting that release. After receipt of that, WMATA IT will conduct some testing to ensure that it works as expected. So they will have it in our test environment to perform that testing. And we are surely well aware of the things that we're looking for this release bill to hopefully resolve. The anticipated date that the candidate build is to go into live production is July 20th. So that is if the initial testing proves to go without any issues, we expect to be able to put it into live production as of July 20th or right around that date. Once it's in live production, both WMATA IT and Trapeze will continue to monitor system performance just to, again, to ensure that everything is working as intended. So that concludes my update. I will be glad to take any questions if there are any.
All right, there's any questions from committee members? No. I just want to find out very quickly, who's guest three with the hand up or?
Chair Somerford, so that would be somebody with last four numbers as 8455. If you would just come off of mute and let us know if your question is pertaining to public comments or how can we help you?
Okay.
The last four numbers are 8455.
All right. All right, I see the hand up, but okay. All right, when that person will eventually, I guess, respond. But we're going to go on with this meeting. Mr. Blake, you are up for the rest of this meeting. And the first one I want to take up that won't take as much time would be the fair update, Mr. Blake, and then followed by the window change. And then we'll go take it from there with the other topics you have to discuss, because I know these take the least amount of time. And I know the others are going to have questions and more questions.
Okay, no problem. Good afternoon, everyone. Starting with the fair. So this coming Sunday, June 25th, the max fare anyone would pay on Metro Access would be $4. So all trips are twice the fastest fixed route fare with a maximum of $4. Now, there'll be a handful of trips, and I literally mean a handful of trips, that the fastest fixed route equivalent fare may be based on a locally operated transit service that may happen to have a fare lower than a base fare lower than $2 that the Metro Access, excuse me, the Metro Bus fare is. And in those cases, in those rare cases, there may be a Metro Access fare less than $4. But from here on out, almost every fare will be $4 for all trips on Metro Access, essentially a flat fare. And again, I say when it comes to the local transits, we're putting so much service on fixed route, you know, bringing the region back to normalcy and giving customers the service they need throughout the fixed route service, it's going to be rare that any local operated service is the fastest equivalent. But in those cases, we program the computers to make that adjustment. But essentially, beginning Sunday, everybody's trip on Metro Access will be $4.
Well, I will tell you, Mr. Blake, that is not rare, because in my case, since I'm in local PG, I do have a lot of fares, particularly my work fares when I was working, was $2 because it was based on the bus. So it's not rare.
Well, it's going to be rare because we're putting out more service that would be.
Oh, got it. Oh, okay. That's why I wanted to. Oh, okay. Okay. I just wanted to. Okay. Because I was like, huh? Okay. Because I was seeing this as an almost daily occurrence. So it won't be after that. All right.
I'm just letting you know that there's going to be more service. Your individual circumstance may or may not change right away. But again, as Metro puts out more and more service, the fastest fixed route equivalent fare is likely going to be based on Metro service.
All right, and I see you have actively began to communicate this about the fare on the IVR. There's a dedicated When anyone can, you know, access it when they dial into the main number to find out more information about it by hitting, you know, a certain sequence where there's more pre-information or, you know, kind of FAQs to answer questions. So I already saw that you did that with the IVR. Are there any questions about the fair that is going to change? Nope. All right. Next, we're going to go to the window change. And I want to start with that, Mr. Blake. You've done a good job of explaining it. And my questions are going to be, let me let you say what you have to say. Then I'll make my comments and entertain other comments from other committee members.
Okay. Thank you. So beginning July 1st, the pickup window for all customers will begin at the pickup time. So just real quick, a quick recap. Currently, if you ride Metro Access, if your pickup time is 8 a.m., that means your pickup window, the time you need to be ready to be brought aboard our vehicle, is between 7:45 and 8:15. That's your pickup window currently. Most of you are familiar with that. Beginning July 1st, that pickup window for an 8 o'clock trip is going to be from 8 a.m. to 8:30. So what this means is if you book the trip for 8 o'clock, in part because that's the time you get off from work or you get out of class or the program you're attending is over. Happy Father's Day too. Thank you, Rico. That will be the time you have to be ready. At the time that you have as your pickup time. And it goes from 30 minutes there. So we have not changed the length of the pickup window. We've just changed when it begins so that it coincides with your pickup time to eliminate some inconvenience for some and a lot of confusion for others over the years.
All right. So my comments are, the first thing is, thank you for that. My first comment is going to be then now is you announced, and this might be an error, under that Find My Ride tool when you talked about the pickup window change. The first blurb talked about exactly what you talked about, but then again, on the second line, it says on June 25th, the pickup window will start on your pickup window time and go to 30 minutes windows, minutes after your pickup time. You may want to take that messaging out because that contradicts the first one.
Well, I'll look and see what you're saying, and then I'll go.
Because it says the exact thing you just said now, but the second line talks about the 25th, and that contradicts it.
Okay, so they made an error. They may have thought all changes were on the 25th, but only
yes,
only the change to the fair is on the 25th. The pickup window starts on the 1st. So we'll get that corrected. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, that's the only thing. When people start going into that and they see that, I don't want them to be confused. All right. And then I'm going to take questions from any committee members about this pickup window change. Who is ECNV? And does if you can let me know who you are, and is this about that topic?
Oh, I see. There's a mistake in the second paragraph. Thank you.
This is Doris. That's me, ECNV.
Okay. And your question pertains to this topic?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead with it, Mr. Blake.
Okay. So please correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is that when booking a reservation on Metro Access, that you can specify your pickup time or you can specify your arrival time and base it on either. So if you base it on your arrival time, will this mean nonetheless that the reservationist will assign you a pickup time, and that's when your window begins? Because I'm afraid that people might get confused if they're used to booking by arrival time. You know what I'm saying? I hope you know what I'm saying.
I totally understand. So you're correct. So, but let me say it just a slightly different way. Every trip on Metro Access, whether you book by pickup time or appointment time, every trip has a pickup window. What happens is if the customer wants to be picked up by pickup time, let's say a customer says, I want to be picked up by 8 a.m. That's when the negotiation begins. But let's just say we give you the 8 a.m. pickup. Well, your pickup window today is 7:45 to 8:15. If the customer instead says, I want to book my trip by appointment time because I need to be where I need to be by 9 a.m., then Metro Access, yes, will give you the pickup time. And let's just say the pickup time Metro Access gives you is 8 a.m. Well, your pickup window today would still be 7:45 to 8:15. Every trip has a pickup time and a pickup window. It's just a matter of, does the customer ask for the pickup time or does the customer ask for the appointment time? But beginning July 1st, if the customer asks for that 8 a.m. pickup time, and we just say, hey, you got the 8 a.m. pickup time, your window begins from 8 a.m. to 8:30. If that customer asks for a appointment time, and the appointment time is 9 a.m., and we give you a pickup time of 8 a.m., well, your pickup window is still 8 a.m. to 8:30.
Yeah, okay, thank you for clarifying that. And the only one thing that I will say is that, as a comment, is that I am concerned that there may be some confusion, particularly with people with any number of disabilities, but either cognitive disabilities or with people who are deaf and are used to be, you know, doing it the other way, and may, if they're not super clear about it, may get confused, and when it gets to 8:15 or something, they're going to think that their vehicle is, you know, supposed to have arrived and is, you know, exceeding the window and is late and all that stuff. And I'm really concerned about people making sure that there's enough time for the change to happen so that people get it locked into their understanding, you know, what the situation now is.
All right. Thank you.
And you have a great point, Doris. And we will say we're going to continue to be patient with our customers and give the information over these next couple of weeks, but also afterwards. But also, I can also just tell you, Doris, we've been doing the pickup window 15 minutes before and 15 minutes after for now over 25 years. And some customers are still confused by it. So this is an ongoing educational process. And we're going to just continue to work with our customers as we go through this change, but also just try to help by aligning the pickup time with the start of the pickup window. We hope to help reduce a lot of the confusion we've seen over the years.
All right. But this, I mean, so making sure to be plain in language that if it's, it will not, it's going to be based on your pickup time and your window, you need to wait until 30 minutes after your pickup time. I mean, to be very, very clear, we need to be saying it in very clear and simple language. That's all I'm trying to say. Thank you,
Doris. Next, we're going to have Tawan followed by Deborah Fisher.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Mr. Blake, two questions, relatively short, I hope. And I hope I'm not off topic with the second one. If I am, Paul, you'll let me know.
Is it really? Remember, we're relating it to the topic right here.
I understand. I understand, and I'm trying to stay within that scope. So the first one is in clarification with the pickup time. So, Mr. Blake, if I request a pickup time of, let's go with our story here of 8 a.m., and the system starts to spin out in search, the first question is, will the system only populate times that occur at 8 a.m. or after, or is it possible it still could populate a trip that starts before 8 a.m.?
Oh, it definitely could populate a trip before, because remember now, we have a scheduling window. And the ADA allows a scheduling window of 1 hour. Metro Access used to have a scheduling window of 30 minutes, but now we have a scheduling window of 90 minutes. No, excuse me. Now you got me confused.
90 minutes.
90 minutes, but the ADA allows for the hour in between. So we're not going to expand the scheduling window. That's not going to change. But yes, when you say I want to be picked up at 8 a.m., if there's nothing available at 8, it's going to look before 8 and after 8 to find a trip to offer you that you can then accept or ask for other consideration.
Okay. Now, and the second question relates just to exactly what you said. So I want to make sure I understand the window that it could search within. So I asked for that 8 a.m. pickup. How far in either direction can it search for the start of my window?
Okay. According to the ADA, it can be an hour each direction. Metro Access is limited to 45 minutes. Each way. So that's a 90-minute window.
I see what you're saying. So it's for clarification. That means 8 a.m. could be as early as 7:15 start or as late as an 8:45 start in this scenario.
That is correct.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Paul.
And just for clarification, Mr. Farmer, and for everyone, keep in mind this has been in effect for now over 3 years.
I understand.
Gotcha.
I got no issues. Just wanted to make sure everybody else heard it.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Deborah Fisher, you're next.
Thank you, Paul. My question is does the timing, if you put it in for, if you schedule it for when you need to arrive, does the schedule algorithm take into account traffic patterns at that time?
Right. In our system, it takes into account historic traffic patterns. We're working on ways and different technological solutions to include real-time traffic. But yes, we're taking into consideration historic traffic patterns to determine how long will it take a vehicle to get from point A to point B historically. And here's those three letters. I know Ms. Rush and the others don't like to hear. The FRE, the fixed route equivalent time.
Right.
So it's taking into consideration the historic traffic pattern, but also the fixed route equivalent time, meaning for those who may not be aware, the Metro Access onboard time for a customer per the ADA is equal to or less than the amount of time it would take someone traveling from the same pickup location to the same destination, but using bus and or rail service.
So I'm wondering, would it make sense to encourage people to schedule based on arrival time, targeted arrival time, rather than on their assumption as to when they need to be picked up to get where they want to go on time?
Absolutely. We've always encouraged that particularly for appointments.
Right.
If you have to be at work, if you have to be at the doctor, if you have to be at school, whatever is a time sensitive, we've always encouraged customers, because a lot of customers will say, well, it only takes my daughter 10 minutes to get me from here to there.
Right.
So that's how long. So Metro Access, I need to be there at 9. So I'll call Metro Access and have them pick me up at 8:30.
Right.
Well, that may be true in a personal private car, but that may not be true when it comes to public transportation. Right. So when it's time sensitive, we absolutely encourage customers to book by appointment time so that we can ensure we get you to where you need to be on time. But customers have their choice, if you get my drift.
Got that. But it makes sense when people ask to encourage them to go by their appointment time start. One last question, which is, from time to time, the Metro Access driver will arrive early. And I just want to be sure that they are still respecting that window, that even if they arrive early, that they're not expecting the customer to come out before the early side of that half hour window that has been established.
That driver is not knocking on the door before the window. We hope that is not happening, or that is not encouraged.
Although it did happen to you the other day, right, Paul? It picked you up a little
earlier. A while ago. Yeah.
Yeah, but we're working on that, and we're going to be doubling down on our efforts with the call center to be responsive to any customers who say that a driver came and left before the window. Now, technically, no driver is supposed to leave before completing what they call a no-show, which involves calling the call center. So there is no way the call center should be granting an operator the right to leave a passenger prior to their window opening. And so we're going to hold the call center accountable to that, but we're also going to be holding the companies accountable to it as well, to address their employees who violate the customer's right not to be, for lack of a better word, harassed before their window opens.
Can I just clarify, the window is for the arrival of the vehicle, right? It's not that the customer has also a half hour to get themselves ready.
Right. Well, let's say the window is not necessarily because the vehicle, let's say the trip, we had a trip scheduled before your pickup, but that trip canceled. Well, we'll send that driver on to be ready for you next. And that driver may arrive before the window opens. Now, that driver, he or she, is not supposed to even be seen. They're supposed to kind of park a little away, because even the presence can cause some customers to feel pressured to hurry up. And that's a violation of your right as well. And we don't tolerate that. So no, the window is the time when you as a customer have an obligation to be prepared for boarding.
But it's not that you have from 8 o'clock to 8:30 if the vehicle arrives at 8 o'clock or 8:05. You have to be ready then.
You have 5 minutes to be ready once the driver comes to your door.
Right. Okay. Just wanted to
clarify. That hasn't changed either. That's correct.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah. So again, who is guest three with the hand still raised? Did you want to identify yourself, and does it have to do, is your comment specific to this topic?
Hello, yes. Sorry, I couldn't unmute myself earlier. My name is Fred Kamara, and I'm a member of the Sligo Creek chapter of the National Federation of the Blind and a regular user of Metro Access. I am a little confused about the new 90-minute thing. I don't understand what that means, because if at the present moment, the present scheduling is 30 minutes. I mean, 15 minutes before and 15 minutes after the exact time of agreed on. What does the new 90-minute thing mean? I'm a little confused on that.
Oh, so we're talking about, okay, I'm going to let Mr. Blake answer about the pickup window or see. Go ahead, yeah. Mr. Blake.
Yeah, and what I would like to do is probably get the customer a copy of our customer guide just to refresh. So the scheduling window, the 90-minute scheduling window is not new. It's been in existence now for nearly 3 years. And before that, it was a 60-minute window. So this is not new, and that's not going to change. So what happens is every time you call to book a trip on Metro Access, Metro Access looks across a window of 90 minutes, 45 minutes before you ask the time and 45 minutes after to find a time to pick you up that you will agree to. That's not going to change. What's going to change is once you agree to the pickup time, and let's say your pickup time is 8 a.m., that means today or tomorrow, if you called and booked the trip tomorrow, that means you have to be ready for pickup between 7:45 and 8:15. That's today, and that's happening right now. But beginning July 1st, if your pickup time is 8 a.m., you will have to be ready for pickup between 8 a.m. and 8:30. The same 30-minute window, it just starts at the time of your pickup time, not before.
Okay. And the other thing I have is with regards to the 1 hour between the time you dropped off and the time you're picked up again. Yeah. You know, a lot of times that is a bit inconvenient to me because sometimes I just have to go to a place that I may spend less than 30 minutes. So I don't see why it has to be an hour. And some of the schedulers misinterpret it. For instance, right.
May I ask that since this is not part of this topic, can you save this for public comment, and I will make sure you have 3 minutes to talk about it, because we have other agenda items that we have to get to.
I will do.
Thank you so kindly.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
And Doris, I see your hand, but we have to move on because we have other major agenda items. We have to.
There was just a short clarification, please.
I know, but you did have a chance to speak. Can we save it for
public comment? I didn't think of it this until now.
Doris, we need to move on. Please save it for public comment. Thank you. Mr. Blake, we're going to go to talking about the minivans next.
Yes, sir. So I'm excited to announce that someday this week, or maybe early next week, because this is a short week, but I believe one day this week, we're going to begin receiving the minivans. But they're not going to go into service just yet. I will let you know. I think that they won't go into service for about 2 weeks after we receive them, because they still have to be licensed and a few other paperwork matters. But as soon as we're ready for them to go into service, each base is going to get about two each, maybe a couple of more for some of the more busier bases. But what I'm going to do is inform you all of that. And like we've done on other things, whether it's abilities ride, whether it's other tests that we've tried out, I'm going to look for some of your trips, and I will ensure that at least some of your trips are on the minivan so we can get your direct feedback as in revenue service, as opposed to a test or a demonstration at a Metro property. But they are coming on board. I want to say we're not a negative, but so we're not late to the game, but there have been a lot of other properties. While we like the sedans and others have moved away from sedans, we want to give you that comfort, and I think that has proven to be pretty popular. Other properties have used the minivans, and we're glad, because now a lot of technology has gone into it, a lot of learning into the design. But we do believe this is going to be a very comfortable ride, especially compared to what Ms. Rush calls the cargo vans that will eventually all be replaced. I'll just say it now, and I know I'm going to have the operators make sure they always say it. Please remember to duck your head. That's the key for us right now. Please remember to duck your head when you're boarding these vehicles, but we think they're going to be a nice, comfortable ride for you, and it's just going to add more to hopefully your positive experience when using Metro Access.
All right. With that, Ms. Rush, I know you're here, and I know you have a comment to say. Go ahead. I will let you go first. Come off on mute, Ms. Rush.
This is Ms. Rush. No, I don't have a comment. I know that I'm going to be, if I don't have a trip scheduled, I'll make a trip, and it won't be to the casino, Mr. Blake.
Okay, no problem. We got you covered.
Any other questions about these new minivans before we go into our wonderful two other lengthier topics? Nope. Okay, next we're going to do that Where's My Ride To? No, Find My Ride To, not Where's My Ride. Yeah. Find My Ride for the customer. Yeah. Go ahead, Mr. Blake.
Okay, so we have created a tool. We've tried this now a couple of ways, and we think we've found a tool that will bridge us until the next round of scheduling and dispatch reviews and software. But this tool is a web-based application. It provides you with near real-time traffic information. So now, before you ever have to call the call center for Where's My Ride, if you wish, you can use your cell phone or a personal computer to get an update on an estimated time that your vehicle is going to arrive, and you can get a sense of where that vehicle is located at the moment you check the website. So we launched it initially with some members of the AAC and a couple of other stakeholders, and after feedback, and it hasn't been perfect, and I'm gonna go into some of that when we're judging perfection and what we're judging it against, but the tool has provided customers with with enough information that you do not have to call Where's My Ride, and that's the goal of this. So let me go to what we're being judged against in the minds of some. And if I were in your shoes, I would probably be doing the same thing, but that's why I have to come back and be clear. For those of you who are familiar with using Uber or Lyft, but primarily we're talking about Uber here, and you're using that Uber app that shows the vehicle, may even change the type of vehicle that's on the screen, and the vehicle is just chugging along and it's updating all the time. That's not what this is. And I just got to put it out. Hey, Uber had, I think the first year and a half, 2 years, I think they raised $1.25 billion. Okay. Chris Blake doesn't have $1.25 billion. Metro doesn't have $1.25 billion. And even after that first year and $1.25 billion, it still wasn't a perfect app. I can tell you because I was following their technology for a long time. But they do have the world-class app when we're talking about tracking a vehicle from a location to a location. We're not there, and we're not trying to compete with that. What we're trying to do, though, is give you information that's reliable, that's accurate. That way, you don't have to feel the need to pick up the phone to call Where's My Ride unless you absolutely want to. So we've launched it. It's a website. I sent the members, all of you who weren't part of the initial testing, everybody received the link to the page. And now we're using that website also to kind of build out. You'll see a section called Service Update that Mr. Silverport referenced. That was a direct recommendation for those of you who were on the committee and remember the Easter Seals project. And I want to thank Ms. Anderson for reminding me of that. In fact, I have a whole list of the things Easter Seal recommended. Well, Easter Seals and the AAC, because many of you all were working with them on that project. that we have incorporated into this app. There's some things we haven't because we just don't have the technological capabilities to do so right now. But for the one main goal that we're trying to accomplish, which is what I want everyone to keep in mind, is that if you have been frustrated with calling Where's My Ride or anything, you've been put on hold for a long time just to find out where your vehicle is, we now have a tool where you don't have to call them at all. You only have to call them if the vehicle is shown to be late or in the occasion that the GPS from the vehicle is not sending a signal to the computer and there's no estimated arrival time at all. But if there's an estimated arrival time, it's pretty accurate and it alleviates your need to call the call center and be on hold or go through any of those discussions. And that was our number one goal. And we've accomplished that. We have some ways to go to make it better and better, just like Uber did. Again, Uber had a $1.25 billion head start on us. So I'm not even going to try to even act like we're competing or comparing what we've done with what they have. But we do know that there's some ways that we can make it a little better. And one of the things, Mr. Semaford, if you recall, is the lag time. And I won't dwell too much because I know there's probably some questions and comments. Right now, our system updates every 2 minutes. Compared to the Uber app again, it's almost instantaneous, continuous update. So you may see the app says the vehicle is going to be there in 7 minutes, but then you turn around and it's right outside the door. Well, as long as it's in that pickup window that Ms. Deborah and I, Ms. Fisher and I were talking about a little earlier, well, it's as a customer, it's your responsibility to always be ready within that pickup window. But what we have done, Paul, and over, because of your feedback specifically, but as well as some other customers, we ran an experiment where we successfully had the computer send information a lot quicker. Now, there's some risk in that, and we hope the system, it hasn't failed. So far, so good. But that means the lag time will reduce because now it's going to update as quickly as every 45 seconds instead of every 2 minutes. So that's going to give you even more accurate estimated arrival times and hopefully make your experience interacting with the app that much better.
Now, question, Mr. Blake, are you finished?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
So have you resolved the issue with the logging in with Facebook? Because as you know, in order to log in, you have to have a LinkedIn, Facebook, or Google account. You may want to explain why you chose those three accounts. And when I tested it with Facebook, it came up as with the message that it's not able to use that.
Right now, yes. So the strategy we took, and that's a very, very important point. So the first thing, before you even get to the estimated arrival time of your trip, you have to first log in. You have to sign into the program. Now, Metro Access could have taken one of two directions. One direction is we could have gotten into the cybersecurity business. And I don't know about you, but, you know, our strength is, and I know some folks, I don't see Mr. Torres yet, some folks will say, well, you're not an expert at transporting us either. But we believe we're pretty good at transporting customers. We're not really, though, in the cybersecurity business. And so, therefore, we're not giving you a page to sign up with and put in a password that we then have to hold. And we didn't want to get into that business. We just want to give you information on your trip. A lot of people, and this is where you all have to, you've heard me say in the past, I believe people with disabilities can do anything I can do, just long as we remove the barriers. Uh-huh. And people with disabilities are on Facebook. People with disabilities are on LinkedIn. They have Gmail accounts. And on those services, especially Facebook, you're telling them where you work, where you live, where you're going to vacation. You're giving out a whole lot of personal information and you trust those companies with your personal information. Well, our attitude is using a terminology and a practice that's global. called Social Sign-Off, where you go to your favorite pizza parlor online to order online, or you go to, I hate to call it, JCPenney's or Macy's. Oftentimes you will notice that you don't have to sign up with them. You can use your Facebook account or Gmail to go through those websites to order your product or your meal or what have you. Well, that's the approach we're taking. We're asking you to sign in through your LinkedIn account, your Facebook account, or your Gmail account. Now, let's say you don't have either three. Well, a Gmail account is free. And if you create just one Gmail account strictly for your Metro Access trips, you don't ever have to send an email from it. You don't have to give anybody any of your personal business. You don't have to respond to any emails. You just use that email address one time to sign up for Find My Ride, and you can use the application forever. So now back to your point, Mr. Semaford. Sometimes those social sign-on features are down for maintenance, down for technical issues, a whole number of things. So yes, at the start of this, Facebook has stopped its social sign-on for now. But we do believe that given its business model and given that it's been doing social sign-ons for umpteen years now, we believe it's going to come back, and therefore that'll be one of the options for customers to use to sign on to Find My Ride.
So you may just want to put a note there for now that Facebook may not be an option, like when I got into it and it would not let me sign on that way, because obviously the first thing I did was test with all three of my accounts to see if it would get you in.
Yeah, that's fair. We can add that note, yes.
We don't want this to look like it's a barrier to the customer and they first like, well, you gave me this tool and I can't even sign on with this.
Right. I'm with you.
All right. So next, Anu,
Chair Salford, the next topic would be the...
Oh, no. Do we have any questions from any...
questions on this?
Yeah. Like other people have tested it so far and have feedback on it. I see Mr. Torres's hand. I will take his hand for 3 minutes because I'm sure he has feedback to give on this.
So, I raised my hand also, okay?
Okay.
And my phone told me it was raised. So.
All right. Go ahead, Mr. Torres. 3 minutes.
Yes. Hello. Okay, so my overall opinion of this effort is that I believe that it's not really a tool, and it's a tool. It's not an app. It's sort of a bare bones minimum tool to tell you something about your ride. My challenge with it is that I'm comparing this tool to what other transportation systems is using, to what WMATA is making available for riders. The standard I'm looking at is the Washington, D.C. Metro and Bus mobile app. So there actually is a mobile app for Metro and bus riders. It's a native app. You go onto Apple or you go onto Google and you download the app to your phone. It's just app in the same style as Uber. And they provide you with relevant information for your service. It has a very high rating. It has a 4.6 rating, and it's a decent tool for the people who need it. This tool, I don't see it as any kind of ultimate solution or final solution. It looks more like a placeholder type of solution. because the information that it provides me, I mean, how much of it can I rely upon? I can probably rely upon the fact that a vehicle is being sent to me and it, and I may see the vehicle number. But in terms of when it's going to arrive, the information I got, many times it would say, well, it's 5 minutes away, then it would be 6 minutes away, then it's 5 minutes away, and then the driver shows up out of my at my door.
25 seconds.
And so I don't believe that it is fair to provide us with this and say that this is the ultimate solution, and I certainly hope it isn't. The current CEO, Mr. Clark, says that he believes in transparency and communicating information to riders. And this app or this tool does not even come close to that standard that he has set. At least this is what this is his professed standard. And I don't, my question as I end my comments is, was this tool demonstrated to Mr. Clark? And did he give his blessing? Thank you.
Okay. So, one, I have to disagree with you on a couple of points, but it's fair. I don't know anything that's ever called an ultimate tool. As I pointed out, when you first had Uber app, there's been significant changes and improvements, and we always are looking for improvements to our technology features. So, whatever ultimate app you're looking for, I don't know if you'll ever get it. I hope you do, but we're going to continue to provide good information to customers. Just from a technical standpoint, when you talk about what is an app and what is a tool, the fact of the matter is every app is basically a website. I don't know if you know that or not, but every app. So if I wanted to put this and couch it in the form of an app and have it on the App Store or the Play Store, I absolutely can do that. I've done this before for personal matters all the time. So whether you're going through a tool on a website, directly to a website, or you're doing it through something you downloaded on a, you know, from the Play Store or the App Store, it's all the same thing.
Now, I beg to differ. From an accessibility standpoint, I must beg to differ. There is a total difference in experience from a website and an app. Websites are notoriously accessibility prone. They're unstable. If you look that up, you'll see that websites, compared to mobile apps, you do a comparison, and there's a big difference. There's a stability difference.
Well, I'm gonna have to disagree again, because I can find you plenty of apps that are inaccessible, including the Uber app at one time before advocates like myself, way before I got here, worked with them to make it accessible. But we don't have to debate that. I'm giving you my feedback on this. So again, my goal here and our goal as an agency was to give some customers, and if you don't feel comfortable with the information, that is absolutely fair, and I won't disagree with you. As I told you, there is a lag because there is a difference in having to get the information from one system out to another and then to the customer. There is a short lag. We've made an adjustment that we think is going to reduce that lag tremendously, if not eliminate it. But for any customer, there's always still the option. And we believe that if we get enough customers, this is just like the sedan discussion, it's just like the abilities ride. When you take enough customers from the phone calls, you now leave a lot more hopefully pleasant experience for those who absolutely have to make the phone call to find where's their ride, just like we've done utilizing abilities ride. You take enough trips off of dedicated service, we then work to improve through that lesser demand the actual experience of customers on the dedicated service. To your direct question, did I have a meeting and say, Mr. Clark, this is what I'm going to release to the public? No, I did not. I didn't do that. We don't always do that. But the fact of the matter is, this is information now in the hands of thousands of customers. Some will use them. Some of the thousand who may not necessarily like it, like yourself, perhaps won't use it. But now it's a tool that's in the hands of the customers, transparent information about their trip within the window that they no longer have to call the call center. And we're pretty pleased with that. We're pretty proud of that. And again, Yeah, we'll probably improve it. We're going to improve it because we have some great recommendations from Easter Steel. And at some point, hopefully it'll meet your standard that you're looking for. Where we were 2 weeks ago to where we are today in terms of what customers can actually be empowered to find out on their own without having to be walked through by a person in the call center, we're very pleased.
Like, for instance, I will say, like last night, I was able to see through the app getting picked up from Union Station towards the half of the window. The vehicle was still in Bowie. And I was able to call up and say, oh, it looks like this trip is going to be late. Such and such is still here. Is that is what you see when I talked to a dispatch supervisor last night. He said, that's correct. Then it's predicted to be late and I will send you an Uber. So you can do things like that with staff. What I will say is, Mr. Blake, you do want to, as more customers get access to this, make staff aware that customers do have access to this, because when I have called some staff on that same, you know, topic, they act like that I don't have it or don't acknowledge it. Some do, like the supervisors do, but some of them don't. So do make them aware that customers do have access to the same tool, or eventually will have access to it, because there are some of them are not I say, well, I see such and such numbers late or whatever, is this correct? And only get a supervisor that confirms or denies it, but your regular staff does not. That's what I say from my experience.
Well, and I appreciate that, and the management of the OCC is listening, and so they know we're going to follow up on that comment. And we've been discussing about it because the information that we provided the customer is the information, as I told you, this began with the management team and at the OCC saying the 10 minute it's got to stop. And we heard from many customers on these very meetings. Every time you call the OCC, where's my ride? Oh, it's 10 minutes. And we knew some of that. Well, a lot of that just wasn't right. And we wanted to eliminate that answer. So they created a tool called Find a Ride. And it began utilizing the GPS from the vehicles, just like the information that's coming off the bus and the rail that Mr. Torres was speaking of with those apps. But unlike those apps that are working directly with the system, this here is taking information from the system with a short delay through the system and getting the GPS information. But the point is, we were able to start, the OCC was able to start providing more accurate where's my ride estimates. I saw it on my phone, I saw it on my PC. I just asked the question, if I can look at Paul Semmelfrit's trip, even if I'm sitting, you know, in the jacuzzi at a great hotel in Las Vegas, why can't Paul Semmelfrit look at his own trip and know where the vehicle is at? So that's when the team began working on the ability to give you. And right now, like I said, 1,000, I've sent it out to about 1,400 people, and now we're going to slowly roll it out to others. Those who want to use it, great. We think it's going to enhance your travel experience. Those of you who want to wait for the perfect app because you're going to download it from the App Store, just be patient. That's coming, but I can't tell you exactly.
I am just asking for what WMATA is already doing for its passengers. I'm not asking for a perfect solution.
I got
there's a dashboard. There's a dashboard that is coming out that Mr. Clark is boasting about. Okay,
I got you.
This does not even come close to that standard, and that's the point I am making. I'm not looking for some pie in the sky solution. I'm just asking for what is already being provided, because we are being shortchanged yet again.
I disagree with you again, but that's okay, because two different systems, two different circumstances, but you're getting the same information. But we'll disagree on that, and that's fair. My only point is, we're giving you the information. It's in the palm of your hand. It's on your desktop. Where is your ride? And again, directly based on feedback from customers, we have stepped out and taken a little risk to have the system provide updates a lot quicker than it has been doing for over 20 years. So we'll see how it plays out. And I know you're going to give me your feedback and others are going to give feedback, but we do believe that this change that has been made is going to eliminate much of that drag, so that the actual arrival time and what you see on your phone or on your computer is going to be extremely close.
All right. Next person is Doris, and this pertains to this topic, right?
Yes.
Go ahead with your question.
Okay. This question regards the KISS factor, keep it simple, stupid. Mm-hmm. So, meaning me, stupid, the customer. And so I'm wondering, Mr. Blake, for the sake of equity, someone who doesn't have a smartphone or doesn't have access to it at whenever, are they able to get this quicker information about where's my ride, or do they have to wait on the phone with the customer service person or whoever? And the reason I bring this up is because when I use taxi cabs, they these days are using the ability when I call in, if the ride's not yet to me, the system will say, we booked a ride to you and it is on the way. It is, you know, 6 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is, you know. So I'm wondering if a system like that is available to the Metro Access rider who, you know, doesn't have a smartphone or whatever, or would you consider it if it's not available for the sake of equity?
Okay, so if you don't have a smartphone, but you have access to a computer and the internet, you will get the same exact information.
Not necessarily every circumstance. I may only have access to a phone, is the point.
No, you asked me if a person doesn't have a smartphone, can they get this information?
If they can't get it over, yes.
Yes.
Can they get this information in that quicker format that you're giving to people who happen to have a computer or a smartphone?
Well, the way they would get it is called Where's My Ride? And the information that we're looking at on the personal phone or computer is the same information that the agent, that's the point Paul Summerford is making, is that the customers now have the exact same information that the agent in the call center. So if you don't have a phone that can get on the internet, you don't have
a computer. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying,
I think what she's saying
that
is
there is a technology that the taxi companies are using that allow me just to call the taxi number
Before you ever talk to somebody. So here's the answer to that. The answer is, today, no. You're going to be hearing this in September, but it's not going to be for Where's My Ride, because we didn't want to start there because, again, we want to take things slow and be accurate. You're going to be hearing, when you call for a reservation on Metro Access, the ability, and I mean, we weren't going to talk about it tonight, but you'll be hearing, like when you call a bank or you call a online ordering, you're going to be able to book your trip without talking to a human being.
You're going to right, but that same system will that same system that taxis are using should be able to,
let me finish.
All I'm hearing is there's no equity for people who don't have smartphones or computers.
Okay. We're starting with reservations to see how well the system works, and once the system proves itself on the reservation side, then we're going to have the system work on the dispatch side as well.
All right, because I think what she's saying is, like, for instance, if I was to call AccessoRide in New York, the same features I would have in my app, I'm able to use and dial it on the phone and get the same, you know, information about where the location of my vehicle is if you didn't have a smartphone.
I'm with you. I totally get it. We finally found a way to get information to the customer. We're starting with the customers there. We're bringing in the computer response answering service, but we're starting the computer response answering service with reservations, not with dispatch.
All right,
we,
Nick,
we will move to dispatch once we show that it does work, because reservations is a lot easier to address quickly before we get to a more complicated system of reservation. And we wanted to make sure the service we are going to be working with and utilizing is up to the par and the level that we want it to be for the customers.
All right, I see Thomas Mangum's hand is up, and this is related to this same topic, correct? Did you have experience to share with it? With the Find My Ride tool, Thomas?
Yeah. My thing is, when new technology come aboard, they say, at first they say, it's to help what we already have. And then later on, the new technology just take over everything. What I want to talk about, I want us to still be able to use the phone if we have to, because not everybody going to be able to use a computer. Like I have people, because you know I sit as chair of Project Action, so not everybody has a computer. Not everybody know how to use a smartphone. So they still going to need know where their rides are. Just as long that phone system is not taken away and taken over by a computer altogether. Because a lot of times with the process of us involving and using technology, we usually get forced to deal with the computer altogether. Like for instance, at the banks and stuff, they're not really customer service anymore because they say you go online and do the thing. So they're not really servicing people like they did before, when you go into the bank and you get all the information when you're there. They don't do that anymore. So I don't want that to happen with Metro Access. Thank you.
Thank you.
I assure you that's never going to happen. That's not going to happen. Even though, for example, we put thousands of people every day through Abilities Ride, our commitment is and remains to ensure that the Metro Access dedicated service is there for every customer that needs it. And these other tools that we're introducing, like this Find My Ride web app, the basic is for more convenience to the customers, not to eliminate and make customers more vulnerable, because we're eliminating the crucial supply of human touch that is inherent in this type of service that we're providing. So trust me on that. We'll never go away from being available for anyone at any level and stage of life. But we do believe as technology and opportunities make themselves available, we like to offer those to customers. Because again, a web app, rather you're using, and I just like using this example, you can use the Papa John's app that you download from the store. You could go to the website, and people with and without disabilities are doing that with a multitude of services and goods and stores and different things. We're just bringing that same opportunity here in response partly to customer concerns about some of the feedback they receive from the call center, but also just in general, because if the tool and the resources are there, we should make them available. Again, that was my thought. I'm in Miami, Florida one day at my mother's house, see a text message from Paul Semaphore. I'm like, oh goodness, what is it? But before I called or responded to Paul, I picked up my other phone, went to Find a Ride and saw the information and could call him and let him know what's going on. I think that was a trip running late, so he went on ahead and I think I booked the Uber for him. But my point was, I'm sitting here in Miami. How come I know more about Paul's trip than Paul does? And we needed to find a way to give Paul and all of you who want to use it the opportunity to have that information as well, so that you can make the best decisions for yourselves.
All right. Yes, three again. Is this question pertaining to this specific topic? Because we do need to move on to our last topic of the evening before we go into public comment.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Does this question pertain to this topic that we're talking about right now?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I want to be in line with Mr. Torres for the fact that Metro Access is working with WMATA. If WMATA has a system that works very well, with all due respect to Mr. Blake, I don't know why reinvents the wheel. Why not just hook up with the WMATA system so it makes it easier? Because, like for instance, I have never heard of this business of opening an email account just to be able to find my right. So I think it's a good idea, but I think it's better to just hook up to a system that already exists. And since WMATA and Metro Access is part of WMATA, I don't think there should be a problem for WMATA to incorporate Metro Access. That's my view.
Thank you.
And I appreciate that. Again, if you weren't familiar with the prior application that was being discussed and your belief that we're reinventing the wheel, I would just have to disagree with you on that terminology. But I appreciate your point. I don't think we're reinventing the wheel. We're providing customers like yourself the opportunity to get information about the status of your ride without the need to call "Where's my ride?" Again, I will follow up with you because you have some questions about the scheduling window that you thought was new. That is not new. It's been in place for 3 years. When I send you that information, I'm going to send you information about the website as well. And just take a look at it. It may work for you. It may not. You let me know, and we'll definitely work with you to allow you to utilize the tool. But we certainly, as a staff, I can just speak for myself. I know as the head of Metro Access, this is not a reinvention of the wheel. Thank you.
All right, Tawan, your questions about this same topic that we're discussing before we move on and talk about grandfathering, which we're a little bit ahead with the agenda here. We need to get to before public comment. Go ahead, Tawan. Is it related?
Thank
to
you,
that?
Sir. Thank Go you, ahead. Sir. Yes. I believe so. So, Mr. Blake, let me just get a piece of clarification.
Yes, sir.
When we're using the Find My Ride tool, for those who are using it, who have tested it and whatnot, and those who will use it, that is monitoring dynamic travel, trips that are potentially constantly changing by the nature of Metro Access. Sometimes, yeah, there's manifest, but those can change too. Compared to a tool, a WMATA tool that is based on real-time analysis of fixed route equivalent, trains that are running on tracks, buses that are running on
fixed route.
An yeah. actual fixed route, yeah. correct?
That is correct. And I don't want to get too deep into it, but you're absolutely spot on. The fact of the matter is, yes, at MTA, years before I came to Metro, we had a web app that also could be downloaded and you could use it today. It's called the Mark Tracker, for example. It's the Mark Train. But it's easy to track it. You just put a GPS on a device and the vehicles are going on a fixed route. No matter whether Chris Blake is on that train, Tawan Farmer is on that train, Paul Semaford is on that train, we just follow the train and we know where the train is going to stop because we know the train number, the vehicle number, et cetera. When it comes to paratransit service, all of the information is in our trapeze system. It's individualized by customer. And as you point out, and one thing customers will see, we put the vehicle number on our web app. the vehicle you're going to get the information is your imminent trip, a trip that says my next pickup is Tawan Farmer. But guess what? Tawan Farmer is going to look at the app and say, oh, it's going to be here in 25 minutes, vehicle 5171. But as you point out, sir, the nature of this business, you go back to it 3 minutes later, you might see a different estimated time. And guess what? You might see a different vehicle. And so the nature and the comparisons, hey, it's all good, but you're absolutely right. These are kind of apples and oranges, tracking fixed route versus tracking individualized vehicles for individual customers are two different things. And it's really not recreating the wheel. It's creating the wheel here. And we're going to continue to build on the wheel as resources and time allows for us to be able to do so.
Blake, all right. I'm looking forward to you to get that $1.25
billion. Believe me.
All right. All right. We're at 525, and we're going to talk about our last topic. We also have public comment period. So at a certain point, we're going to try to do this, start talking about it for the first 10 minutes. I'm going to probably stop it so we can address public comments, because I know everyone wants to be on record before 6 o'clock. So that is about MetroX's grandfathering. Ms. Rush, are you here? Perhaps you can help me facilitate this conversation here.
This is Ms. Rush. I'll do my best. They are trying and attempting and starting to get better bus routes, fixed bus routes. And if the bus goes there, Metro Access will start going there. For example, the L12 bus route is now going to Copper Canyon. You used to couldn't go to Copper Canyon unless you were grandfathered in. It's going to start, and you won't have to worry about the word grandfather. It's a fixed bus route, and you can make a trip to Copper Canyon and Costco's over in the Woodmore Town Center. So I've always talked about going to Walmart on Saturday and Sunday. When that route is extended, it will be extended to go to Walmart on Saturday and Sunday. It will go to Brandywine, to Bonefish Grill, and extended to Waldorf. And we won't be having to use grandfathered in because there's a fixed bus route. But also keep in mind, if people don't use those routes and they eliminate, say, the L12, Metro Access may have started, but then if it's any change and they stop it, we won't be able to go there. As long as there's a fixed bus route, Metro Access will automatically go to those locations. So if you have an area that you're concerned about, when they have the bus transformation sessions, I took 3-4 addresses and they pulled them up and said, it's coming. We're going to go there soon. It's coming. It's the proposal. So when they have a bus transformation activity and you go with an address, or maybe you can can they email the address that they're concerned about? But that's no guarantee that that's going to happen. We have to get everything straight and the funding and make sure that the money is there, the people participate and keep the routes going so that we won't have to worry about grandfathering.
All right.
Again.
Mm-hmm. Can I just add something to that, Mr. Chairman? I don't want to take up too much time. Can I just add real quick to what she said?
Yep. And then I see Doris probably has a comment to make about this.
The Denise Rush bus routes. But if you remember over the years, and everybody deserves credit, and I know we celebrated a lot the flat fare, and rightfully so. We all supported that. I had to play my role internally, but that was a great thing. And I'm glad to see it happen under my watch, and this has been great. But we used to hear all the time about other parts of the service area getting more and more service, and a certain part losing service. And we used to always hear from Ms. Rush and a few others, but Ms. Rush was really on this. And I think, again, the voice of the committee in terms of your advice, rational, strong, but very well thought out advice has paid off. And as you all know, before the pandemic and during the pandemic, I was the advocate to say to the leadership or advise the leadership and request that we keep the Metro Access service area wide, way beyond the ADA and the service hours, even beyond fixed route service. Well, that takes internal political capital and explanations and support. But the point Ms. Rush made, Metro has listened. They're adding bus service in these areas. Now the key is not for me to advocate keeping the service area open and in kind of a soft version of grandfathering. Now it's up to the community to use the fixed route service, including people with disabilities, because all of our vehicles are accessible, to make sure that a planner can't say those routes are underused now, just like they were before, so we could cut out the service. I think.
Amen.
Yes, I think you all have done a great job in your advocacy over the years, but the battle isn't over. Let's educate your fellow citizens with and without disabilities about the new Metro service that's coming on board, and encourage them to use public transit. And that's the easiest way for us to keep the service area wide, not because I won't always be around. So who knows? You may not always have an advocate pushing and tugging and inside. Let's eliminate that possibility by having good service out there on the street that's being used by all customers.
All right, thank you. Doris, as it pertains to this topic of grandfathering, go ahead, 3 minutes.
Yes. I would offer that, Mr. Chair, that we continue this conversation at another meeting and
I can definitely push it for next meeting
before. But I will say that the issue concerns people with disabilities who were not in the system and not using the system. You had to have been using the system and going outside of the minimum ADA that we changed our service area to. In certain dates in 2009 through to July 1st of 10, I may not be exact on that, but anybody after that coming into the Metro Access system was restricted from where they could go. Those who were grandfathered in could go anywhere in the original Metro Access system. And that sets up a two-tier category of Metro Access users. And some of the people who are needing to get onto Metro Access now, live as has been calculated for a variety of people, at least in Northern Virginia, in quotes, outside of the 3/4 mile. And there are some technicalities that have shut them out from even getting the service. And that's why members of our Virginia General Assembly came to us on several occasions when we were visiting Richmond and continued to ask about it. So I think at this point that it is very important that everybody be in the same system and have no either have no grandfathering or turn back to the original service area, which means the jurisdictions within the compact. So all of Prince George's County or all of Fairfax County or Montgomery County and all of the districts, of course. But I think that discussion needs to be had. And the last thing I'll say that is that in addition to whether you're within 3/4 mile of fixed route service, and in addition to advocating for more bus service, which some of us may not get for 10 or 20 years and we'll be dead, that the other part of the calculation for most of these people is days and times of service. We never wanted to see the days and times of service be implemented, and some of us think that it was not, but that controversy is, you know, lying dogs or whatever you want to say right now. But if a bus doesn't run on Saturday and Sunday, for example, I had consumers living in Centerville. There was one bus. It only ran weekdays. They couldn't even go to church on Sunday because they weren't in the quote unquote ADA minimum service area that we, you know, alignment that we went to. So I hope that this topic can be given further consideration. And I think we should go to public comment now because I don't want to take up any more time.
Okay. All right.
Okay, but Doris, this is Ms. Rush. One second. The bus transformation is going further, all the way to Waldorf. Your addresses that you're concerned about, we can check those. They're going further. I mean, they're really going out.
Fairfax County, Denise. They're not. I've been actually at the Central Library, and I've been on the Better Bus Network committee, but more importantly, I went to a couple of the briefings about this, and they took down my information, but they said they're not going in, and it's going to be the jurisdictions, and whether they have, it's going to be a matter, at least out here, of whether they can get the money for the bus service.
But that's
it's all local general fund money for operations. So it's all Fairfax County citizens. And if they don't vote for it, I mean, all of the citizens. That's a discussion that I think we need to.
So what I'm hearing is talk about and understand future.
I have waited patiently for this moment, but anyway.
Thank you, Doris, for your comment. So what we're going to do is, since we need to get to public comments and it's 20 minutes of, we're going to address that. I will move this conversation again for next month and put it at the top of the agenda on top of talking about other things. So that is what we'll do. Anu, who do we have for public comment?
Chair Samford, I just want to make this announcement that if any members of the public, and we have several hands up already, so thank you. Everybody has put their hands up. We will take the members of the public in this order. guest three, Janice Samuel, followed by Libra Robinson, Ansel Torres.
You didn't put me in, and he wanted to.
So put Doris at the end of everybody else.
Actually,
well, at the end of everybody else, you did it early on when we were on some topic.
But we want to remember the public to go first before AAC.
Oh, the public goes first. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Sorry about that. All right. I have a comment, but I'm not sure how to get my hand raised, so I don't know whether I could be added.
Okay, Laura, I would have your hand.
And news keep me monitored. So we're going to go with Janice first, 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. First, I did want to agree with Doris. I think we should consider either not grandfathering individuals or those who are not grandfathered should have grandfather privileges. Everyone should have. Okay. On to my comment. I'd like to tee it up first. Knowing that if you're in the Abilities Ride program and you take Ubers, you can call and you can get an Uber and that ride is free. I appreciate that. I know Mr. Blake has said it might not continue in the future, but I hope it does, and I really like that. So my question is, if you call to schedule a traditional metro ride, fare ride, whatever, however you couch it, and the scheduler asks you, would you accept an Uber? Do you pay for that? Or number two, if you schedule a traditional ride and it's late and you call, where's my ride? And they say it's late, would you accept an Uber? Do you pay for that? So in those two scenarios, do you pay for an Uber? Because there you're not in the Abilities Ride program.
No, you do not. Now, the one piece, and I'm glad Mr. Darner is on, because I've been meaning to say this. We need this, the part where you booking your trip initially and they ask you, would you like an Uber? That was a way of trying to save time in case your trip is running late. But that needs to come out of our script. And I'll explain more tomorrow why we're going to remove that. But in that case, no. You don't pay. And if your trip is running late and they ask, would you like an Uber? The way they're supposed to say it is, Ms. Samuel, your trip is projected to be late today. Would you like a free trip on Uber instead of waiting for the Metro Access vehicle, which is supposed to be late? See, they're supposed to articulate and state that the trip would be free, so there's no confusion. But no, right now, no trip facilitated by Metro on Uber is a cost to the customer.
Okay, thank you. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person, Anu, I believe. Sorry, we're gonna go to guest three, and then followed by Libra Robinson. Go ahead, guest three. 3 minutes.
And that is the person on phone with last four numbers ending in 8753. So unmute yourself, please, and go ahead and make your comment. I believe the name of is Beth Tamara.
All right. In the interest of time, we'll get back to get. Oh, there we go. Go ahead.
Actually, I am my last four digits are 8455. But since you've given me the floor, I just want to follow up on the question I started about the length of time. They tell you, they say 1 hour from the time they drop you off, the estimated drop of time. But some of the schedulers actually don't talk about drop of time. They tell you they imagine that the vehicle will take longer. Maybe, for instance, I asked to be picked up like 30 minutes from the end of the window. My pickup window was like, let's say, from 9 to 9:30. And I had a very short time where I was going. I expected to spend not more than 15 minutes there. So I said, and it was very close to my area, just about less than 10 minutes ride from my area. And I said, my pickup, I need a 10 o'clock pickup. And she said, oh, no, we expect to drop you off at 10 o'clock, and so we'll pick you up at 11. I mean, which wasn't right, because actually it was the ride from, okay, even if the vehicle picked me up at 10:30, I mean, 9:30, okay, and we spent 10 minutes. I would arrive at my destination something like 10 minutes, and if I spent only 15 minutes, I would be ready by 10 o'clock. But I wouldn't mind if they said, okay, we'll pick you up about 10:15. But 11 o'clock, I think that's too long. So that's one concern I have, because
Can I respond real quick? Because we've got some other callers. Mm-hmm. But let me just respond real quick. Right now, the rule is an hour wait between your drop off and your next Metro Access pickup. That's our rule right now. You and some other customers have been asking Metro Access to reconsider that. Definitely on the plate. It is absolutely something I would like to see reduced to 45 minutes or ideally 30 minutes, but we have a few other scenarios that are coming up first. And so under the umbrella that this is a shared ride, fixed ride equivalent service. And yes, while it's possible, you can get on a bus and get off, run into a store, and then the other bus going the other way is coming up in a few minutes. We would like to make that happen. I can't promise it right this moment, but it is absolutely something we're trying to accomplish within a greater scheme of better customer service.
All right.
Glad to hear that. Thank you. And also, I'm glad for the clarification about the start of the $4 thing. I thought it was going to start this Sunday, because that's what the announcement on Metro Access says. But
it is starting this Sunday. It's starting. The $4 flat fare starts Sunday, June 25th. The thing that starts July 1st is the new pickup window. June 25th is the start of the
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person is Libra Robinson, 3 minutes, followed by Ansel Torres.
Thank you. Good afternoon or good evening. So my name is Libra Robinson, and I'm the president of the National Federation of the Blind Greater Washington, D.C. chapter. And for the last few months within this chapter, we created a community actions committee. And what we've done is, what I've done is send, as well as myself, different members who join that committee team to different meetings, such as this AAC meeting and maybe Transport DC, things of that nature. I would just like to say, Mr. Blake, you are doing a great job on the way that you conduct these meetings, especially the Metro Access meetings. But one of my members, and we've been doing this for a few months now, and I'll take the information back to the membership. Okay, so one of my members sent me a letter that a person had wrote, proposing that blind and visually impaired persons don't necessarily have to re-register for Metro Access, but will maybe possibly have a lifetime membership due to the fact that blind and visually impaired people most likely do not get their vision back. If anything, they lose more vision. So I thought it was a fantastic letter. So I shared it with my membership at this last month's meeting on June the 10th. And what we were doing, I read it. We had someone to read the letter. And so what we did was we are going to, you know, come together as a membership and then kind of support that for those who would like to. So what I did was I sent out an email about that, as well as an outline for people to support it and write it out. We're going to send it to our Facebook page. But then as I read it further, I see that it's by someone named Sandy Newsom. And I'm like, that name sounds so familiar. And to find out that she is a part of this AAC committee really made me know that this committee is dedicated to really doing things and making changes. So I just wanted to, you know, this is more of a comment to let Ms. Sandy know that we at the NFB Greater Washington DC chapter is behind a proposal. And if anyone wants to see what we sent out to the membership as well as her letter, you can contact me at leelibra342@gmail.com. And we put a little note in there on how you can outline your letter and as well as including her letter and all of the people that you can contact or CC on that letter. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your dedication. And thank you for this AAC committee. I really enjoyed coming to the meetings.
And thank you for your comments, contribution.
To Ms. Robinson, and we appreciate your advocacy and your advice. And I encourage you to send me a copy of the letter, you know, just to be official. I will say this, Ms. Robinson, we've been hearing this not only for people with visual disabilities, but other disabilities as well. Why do we have to keep recertifying? Why do we have to keep recertifying? Well, there are reasons for that. But what we have tried to do, Ms. Robinson, and I'm not saying we're not one day going to go the direction that's being recommended by your organization, but what we've done so far in the meantime is implement something called administrative recertification, where you still have to send us an application, but the need for a new functional assessment and some of the other steps that a person has to take to first become eligible has been eliminated. We haven't taken that final step to give you like the lifetime gold card, like you get, you know, at the end of the or something. But we're looking at how do we make this more feasible and structural for both the customers and Metro Access. And so we're listening to you, but please keep up your advocacy and feel free to send me the letter for the record.
Thank you, sir. And I will.
Thank you.
I just heard the chat. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, thank you.
All right, Mr. Torres, you're up 3 minutes.
Yes, again, sticking to my theme of transparency and communication. I have become aware that Metro is spending something like $2 million to revamp their website. I trust that there will be accessibility issues addressed. We were promised that we were going to be given a report from the accessibility study that was done. I was promised by Mr. Blake. I was promised by the former CEO. And I essentially was lied to, as far as I'm concerned, because no one has produced any accessibility report to this date, and it's been several years now. I'm very concerned about that because I think, again, we're going to be given short shrift on this design or redesign of the WMATA website. I hope that not to be the case. Maybe WMATA will prove me totally wrong. Coming back to this web tool, this whole issue of where is my ride information has been a sore spot for riders like myself going on decades now. We have been told the 10 minutes lies. And finally, I guess WMATA decided that they were tired telling the lies. Well, with the new web app, essentially what you have done is to create a web app that is now telling the lies. So whether the lies are coming directly from a human or coming from an app, it's the same lie. And that cannot stand. Mr. Blake talks about it not reinventing the wheel with this app. Well, Uber Eats and Uber and the pizza store, and I can go on and on and on. They all have apps that track individual customers. Uber does it on a massive worldwide scale. It's the same kind of information that they have to provide to customers that we're asking Metro Access to provide to us. So Metro Access always tries to make their problem seem so outsized and so different. It isn't. There's $42 million available. This solution is essentially a dollar store solution to a very massive problem that we have been having at Metro. And so again, this demonstrates a lack of seriousness to deal with customers' issues on this topic. We are being shortchanged again.
30 seconds.
We must not and will not accept this mediocre standards. $42 million is going unused in the Metro Access budget and is being funneled over to bus and rail, while we in Metro Access need services, need better quality products. We should not stand for this. It is wrong. Thank you.
And again, I just have to say for the record, and not to debate that, people don't think this was a serious effort. That's on them. I don't take business personal because it's all business, but I can tell you this is not short shrift. It's giving the information. Again, you get the information handed to you directly based on GPS data and real-time traffic. If you think that's the same thing you've been getting for the last 25 years, God bless you. I'm not going to debate it no more with you. But I will just say I completely disagree with everything the last caller just said. But I respect him and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. All right,
Doris, you have the last word, and then Anu will have the last word.
Here, Sam, before Doris, we do have another member of the public. Her name is Laura Hayward.
I'll take Laura.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me to comment on this on your activities in for the committee. Firstly, I have a concern regarding when you book your trip, and I've been using Metro Access for 30 years, so I'm very familiar with the process. So if you have an address, but the entrance is not on that street, it's around the corner. It's one of my places I go all the time. I can tell them that, they can read it back, but when the driver gets picked me up, I don't know if the trip's been moved, that information keeps getting deleted. This has been an ongoing issue. So that's my first concern. And they'll read it back to me, both pick up and drop off for the two pieces of the trip. So that's the first concern I have, is any additional information. You know, it could be in a plaza and you're at store such and such, that information will be dropped. But one, I have a standard trip and they're not getting it. That's the first issue. Secondly, I like to support the continued ability to not only have administratively recertified, be able to go to the final step, being blind and using Metro Access over 30 years, as I said that. And I understand conditions can change. It would be great because the application process is still, even the application, you have to have a doctor sign it, you have to have the right codes. So that, I'm just trying to support that would be looked at more and move forward. I think those are the, and then thirdly is there a way to be able to get an ability ride when you book it? Because that drives exactly what time that they show. And even when you're booking the trip, they'll say, this is the only trip you have. I'm like, don't I get another? No. And then you beg and they finally, well, what about this? So I'm a little concerned about that piece. I'm familiar with booking my trips. I know exactly how long they take from A to B and where I'm going. So those are my three points I'd like to make. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Harvard, I know you have been on and off the Abilities Ride program, so I can answer that one. The others, I may have to have someone call you to get a little more clarification. Maybe I miss what the specific issue is in terms of booking a trip.
Well, it's the location is on Old Georgetown Road, but you have to enter it. You come to the location from Beach. That information is being deleted. I have been tracking that. And then how do I stay on the abilities program? Because I'm able to get into any kind of vehicle that works for me better. I can help the system. It won't be as costly. I can give many reasons why.
So before we go, because the time is running. So are you talking about, you're using web booking, I presume?
No, sir. I've called it in.
And you're saying you give them information, but then the information is deleted.
The additional, where is the entrance for this YMCA is the biggest issue.
Oh,
it's around the corner on the other street.
You're saying is not showing up. Okay.
We can 559.
Yeah, we can follow that. And in terms of the Abilities Ride, you can't book Abilities Ride with the reservation agents because Abilities Ride is like a lottery. Once all the trips are booked, The machine selects which trips get moved to Ubers and taxis. I will check if you don't believe you've been getting enough lately, I will check to see if your name is still in the system, if there's any technical issues going on there.
Well, I've been getting him for like 3 months and all of a sudden I stopped getting him. So that's what my concern. Okay. And it's impacting us.
Because we lose our purpose at 6. Gotcha.
And we'll follow up on that. But yes, so, if more and more people sign up, then others who have been getting a lot of trips may start to see fewer trips, but it's supposed to be random.
It's 6 p.m. So we already lost our interpreters. So we have to end this meeting. any other Thank person you. Who has comments will have to contact Anu. Anu, do your spiel.
Thank you, Chair.
So they can be entered in the record.
And I do see that we have two members from AAC with their hands up. Please email me your comments. Any members of the public would like to make any public comments, you can email at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Thank you.
Thank you. And this meeting has ended. We are now adjourning.
Great job, everybody. Thanks again. Bye-bye.